Hello, this is Wave Farm Radio Director Meredith Cooey, and this is a recording of a conversation I had with Amadeus Julian Regucera, the music curator at MPAC in Troy, about the upcoming Topos Festival at MPAC on August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Amadeus has commissioned and premiered many new works of experimental music and music theater and is himself a composer. As a disclaimer, MPAC is currently underwriting with WGXC. So, Amadeus, welcome.
Thank you, Meredith. It's great to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. I'd love to start off by talking about the theme of the festival and the two different definitions that are listed on the festival's website, like the Greek translation, the Latin translation. And can you talk a bit about these definitions, translations, and maybe how they're the same or different?
Yeah, I mean, the Greek and the Roman, or the Greek and the Latin, I should say, are really meant to be kind of like the same thing. Site, location, base. They're meant to signify MPAC and Topos Festival in particular as a site and a place for gathering. And we really wanted to emphasize this idea of coming together and listening deeply. I think more than I mean, it references the physical sites, of course, of the festival, the MPAC building itself. We have one of our presentations is in the gas holder, historic gas holder building in downtown Troy. But it also they're metaphorical spaces, like each of these presentations relates to their specific space in the venue and their specific physical location, but also act as metaphorical sites for listening deeply, listening differently. You know, these actions that I think, really come from like this idea of experimentalism. You know, MPAC stands for the Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center, and part of what we as an institution think about is what does experimentalism mean and how can it be for everyone? And in music, for me, that sort of inclusiveness of experimentalism really comes from the act of listening and how space, the space a presentation or a piece of music is in, can really affect how we listen, why we listen, what we are listening to. So yeah, and each of the, like I said, each of the presentations I've curated in a specific space for reasons that are inherent in each of the presentations.
I love what you're saying with experimentalism as a space and different kinds of experimentation in experimental music or whatever. And one of the things that I found compelling about this festival schedule is that everything seems to be so different from each other. Like there's, this, sort of like super group with Raven Chacon like doing like country music sort of like investigation, and then King Britt like dancing, and Sarah DeBachy with like what you would think of as concert instruments, and then you have Persepolis. It's like so many different kinds of works creating different spaces. And so I would love to hear you talk about those, like each of these things, and what they're doing for this theme that you're talking about. Like, what are the metaphorical spaces and physical spaces? And when I was looking at the schedule, I was like, how is Persepolis like following King Britt in the same space? Like, the next day, I was like, whoa.
I mean, that particular case is was a little bit of production juggling of, the two presentations are completely different. We have kind of this surprise in store with the Xenakis presentation. In terms of your question, I think, not to sort of go too deep into the different topos of, different metaphorical topos of each presentation, but really starting with what are we listening to, and what are we listening for, and what are we listening to with each other, in terms of topos being a place where we gather together and experience this music. With Lazy Horse, the band with the Living Earth Show and Raven Chacon, also amazing bassist Molly Obomsawin, Lap Steel Lair, Steve Hammond, who's a Troy local, and vocalist Miriam El Hajly. The investigation into, country music, folk music, it really is kind of looking at what the West in, capital W West, and in terms of, the Western in the United States, what could that symbolize in music? What does it, what did it, what could it symbolize in music? And that's where the interrogation really comes from. In King Britt's set, it's called Liberation Meditations, A Call, and it really is actually less, King Britt comes from, old school house and techno, and Susie Analog and Miles Ortiz Green come from electronic music as well, but this is actually a very different kind of electronic music experience, where they really are taking the idea of mantra and meditation actually, and looking for a degree of stillness and healing in electronic music. And that's where, the titular liberation meditations, healing as a kind of self-liberation, as a way of redirecting energy, one's own energy towards, their own community, towards their own lives, liberating us from distractions so that we can, perform maybe direct action in our own lives and our own communities. Sarah DiVacci, her music is very slow and it reveals itself over time. Very, it's a music that's very appropriate for the concert hall, the MPEC concert hall, which is this huge, reverberant, enormous space. And the music really will the hall, and which is one reason why I programmed it for the concert hall. It seemed very appropriate. But yeah, she comes from a lot of different influences, like I said, minimalism, but also early music, early and Renaissance music, contemporary 20th century practices. But there, I think, truly the topos there is listening. The tuning of her music is so precise and is different than what we think of as normal tuning, like we see on the piano. And so the players really have to listen to each other in order to stay in tune. They need to listen to the space. And then we, as an audience, are really invited into that different kind of sonority. And so there's kind of a focus of attention, I think. And like I said, the appropriateness of the concert hall is part of that. And then Xenakis is just the blowout. Xenakis, the topos of Xenakis is a political one. It was commissioned by Iran in 1971. It was premiered at the Shiraz Arts Festival. There, Xenakis himself was a leftist freedom fighter in Greece. And so, In the curatorial text that we provide at the festival, you'll get the history of not only the premiere of Persepolis in Iran, but also the sort of aesthetic and political and philosophical underpinnings of that piece. But that piece really is a firebrand and landmark piece of electronic music and contemporary experimental music. And it's being show it's being premiered, not premiered, it's being performed per se in our Studio One with over 50 speakers. The premiere presentation was 80 speakers. So we're trying to get as close to that as possible in our studio. Like I said, there's also a bit of a surprise there when it comes to the presentation, but I don't want to give too much away. So the topos there is political. But yeah, I mean, I will say it was surprising to me after curating this because the Lazy Horse presentation, the Sarah Devachi presentation are both new commissions. The music isn't done. They're still actually going to be working on the music this week. King Britt, Susie Analog, and Miles Ortiz Green have never played together. They're going to develop the music next week. The Xenakis has been done several times, but every time it's done again, it's remounted, it's a whole different experience. And so a lot of this festival is actually speculative. But what I was going to say is that there's a stillness, even in the Xenakis, which is this ruckus, boisterous force of nature. There's a stillness that runs through each of the pieces. So it's not a Topos is not a music festival of unbridled, Bacchanalian kind of excess. It really is this sort of there's a restraint there that actually begs for our intense participation as audience members, as listeners. And it's, I think, so far from what I've heard of the music, it's all gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Which is, what not what a lot of people would associate with experimental music. I mean, even the Xenakis, which is basically noise music, there's a beauty there. Micah Silver, who is realizing the piece with all of Xenakis' old materials, he too also he was the first music curator at MPAC. So he's a we were talking about it. And the piece just moves us both to tears every single time, And so there's an intensity there. There's an intensity throughout the festival, I think, that I think audience will be rewarded by.
Yeah, I'm struck by. So you say that the topos of the Xenakis piece is political, and what I it feels like all of them though have a topos of the political, and space and place is. I mean, I feel it's always contested, right? But I feel that there's like an urgency to space and place is contested right now, and who gets to occupy spaces and who gets to be in certain spaces, and so it and even Sarah Devachi's piece, you're talking about the concert hall and the the way that she makes work, and just listening in stillness seems to be a contested space right now as well. And yeah, I guess maybe if you could talk a bit about that, if that's been something that you've been thinking about, or yeah.
I mean, I just want to start actually the point to your point of MPAC as a place. MPAC is a mystery to a lot of people. It's a mystery to the campus it sits on, to the town it's located in. And part of Topos is to demystify what MPAC is and to open it up. Part of, in my family, in my culture, and in many cultures, for instance, food is a huge part of it. What is a festival without food? And so there's a barbecue
Nice.
on Saturday, free barbecue for the community. And just like, how can we make what seems inaccessible accessible? The building is one thing, but how can we make something that seems inaccessible, like experimental music, an accessible place, whether about contested spaces. And it's just like, what does it mean for a space to be contested? It means that there's struggle there. It means that there is there are all these feelings wrapped up in physical and metaphorical and political spaces. And part of what music can do is bring people together. And so Topos as a gathering site to really not necessarily work through this, together in a sort of kumbaya kind of moment, but to really ask questions. And that's, I think, at the core of what experimentalism is. Not necessarily, we don't need to call it critical thinking. We can just call it questioning. Why am I doing something a certain way? Why am I doing it only with certain people? Why am I, the whys, the whos, the wheres? You're in journalism. It's, who, what, where, when, why, how, or whatever. Experimentalism forces us in many ways, not forces us, but invites us to ask those questions. And those are questions that can help clarify situations, can help, contestations of place and of people. So I think the invitation to gather, the invitation to question, I think these are at the core of Topos and ultimately MPAC as well.
Yeah, I wonder what the world would be like if everyone was engaged in making experimental art. And that way of thinking, right? That why does something have to be this way that it is? Why is it this way? And really getting, underneath the surface of things. And I think that art practices and things like that really, at least for me, give me an experience of something other than how things have to be. Yeah.
I mean, it's, I mean, it really is art practice in general, and especially maybe experimental art practice, really is kind of this utopian, has this utopian drive. It's just, how can we be better? How can we be the best selves that we can be? We try as hard as we can. We do our best. These things help us. These questions, these practices, this way of being and thinking and doing, I think really are hopeful and optimistic at the end of the day. And I think a lot of people need that right now.
I
I
was,
know I do.
yes, I do too. And you, when you talk about utopia, and I don't remember if it was listed or written about in any of the descriptions of these works, but I was reading about utopia recently. It was like something that came up in my own reading, maybe, unless it was here, and just how utopia has these double meanings too of no place and good place. And yeah, I don't have like a thought about that really, but experimentalism as no place in a certain way and a good place, and what this means too, the Taos Festival.
Yeah, I mean, utopia, the topos is part of that. I think that, not to put a judge sort of like a judgment on good or not good, but getting to a place, it's just striving to be in a different place, and it's all about the invitation. It's all about the gathering. And, I keep coming back to that as, the theme for the festival. And even like not liking something, not liking something, when I taught music and back at UC Berkeley, one of the assignments I would give is choose a piece of music you hate and write an essay on why you hate it. Students loved it. Students, they, an excuse to rant and rave for a grade. Are you kidding me? They love that. And so, but what that does is it does jumpstart that sort of critical part of your brain about questioning about why and how and who. And so it's just as useful, whether you think something is quote good or bad, it's just as useful to experience those things. And if not just to have that experience of questioning. So basically what I'm saying is whether you like any of the music at Topos, you should come.
So with that, where can people find more information and get their tickets?
You can find more information at our website at mpac.rpi.edu. That's empac.rpi.edu.
Great. And so this is for Thursday, August 28th, Friday, August 29th, and Saturday, August 30th. So people come on out.
Yeah,
And
please do.
yeah, and do you have any other information or anything else you'd like to add about the festival or any of the work presentations?
Yeah, I heard a couple of things actually to mention that the Lazy Horse show, the first show of the festival on Thursday, October 28th at 7 p.m. I mentioned was at the Gasholder Building in downtown Troy. Great building, tricky building acoustically, but all to say is that the concert is free. And so if you're curious at all about the festival or any of the other presentations, here's your incentive to just check it out. I part of experimentalism and part of MPAC right now, I think, is accessibility. And so part of that is, there's nothing more accessible than free. So I encourage people to check that out. There's also a free presentation of a documentary, a rarely seen documentary about Xenakis's Persepolis on Saturday at 1:30 in our theater. It's a very rare documentary film. It's about an hour long, and it gives if you see the Xenakis presentation on Friday night and you wanted more context or had wanted to know more about it, or you want to watch it as a primer for the Saturday presentation of Xenakis, I think this film provides like a lot of information and sort of context for Persepolis, and that's also free.
This just made me think. One last comment I have. How is it going to translate indoors all of the torch bearing kids from the first I've been thinking, I'm like, how is that gonna work?
Yeah, I mean it's a totally, like I said, every time Persepolis is performed or mounted, it's always a different kind of experience. And there's something powerful about the music itself, apart from the any of the dramaturgy or theater that accompany it. I mean, dramatic piece of music in and of itself. But we do our best, Meredith, is what I can say. We do our best.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Well, thank you, Amadeus, for taking the time to talk
Of
about this
course.
festival coming up at MPAC, August 28th through 30th. So thank you.
Thank you.